desire your prayers tonight very much.
It's amazing how
you might have been doing this for a lot of years, but it doesn't seem to get any easier. Because we realize that we can't do it without the Lord. And if the Lord doesn't bless it, there won't be anything accomplished. So we need the Lord tonight. I'd like to speak to the subject of desperation. Seems to me the times that we're living in today is pretty desperate times.
Yes.
It's all right. I was thinking about many years ago in my life. I was 19 years old, and that's been many years ago. I was driving from Columbus, Ohio, to Dayton, Ohio. It's about a 70-mile trip, the way that I was going. And 19 years old, and I was out on a country road. It was a two-lane road. And it was a road that they called Blood Strip. There was no berm on the side of the road. It was a narrow road, and there was really no place to pull off anywhere. It just went down into ditches. I was following a car, and it was going slow. So I looked up ahead, and there was a car coming, but it was out there quite a ways. And I had a little sporty car at the time, and I thought, well, this will be easy. So I hit the gas pedal and pulled out the pass. And when I got up to the side of the individual, it was a woman driver. I remember that well. And I don't mean anything because it was a woman driver. But I got up beside her and she sped up. And I put that thing down to the floor as far as I could put it, and she just kept right up there with me. And that car up there coming at me was getting closer and closer. So I hit the brake and slowed down. She did too. I don't know what this was all about. The folks that left quite an indelible impression in my mind, I can tell you that. So when I saw that I wasn't able to get in behind her, I sped up again and she did too. Somehow or another, I wasn't saved at the time. Somehow or another, God had mercy on me. And he helped my car to go a little bit faster than hers. And just as that car was getting to me, I was able to quickly pull in front of her. And I wouldn't have wanted my hand in between the car that was coming at me and my car. It was close.
Yes.
It was so close that after I got in front of her and I got it slowed back down, I remember my foot on the gas pedal just bouncing up and down. My legs were trembling. I was trembling. I was shaking. Because I really thought, it looked like there for a few minutes, that I may go out into eternity today. I don't really understand what that was all about, but the Lord allowed that to happen in my life, and I have never forgotten it. But maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm saved today. The Lord has a way of dealing with each and every one of us. But I'm thinking about people in this world that have been desperate. Just not all that long ago, there was a movie star named Angelina Jolie. Her mother died at a very young age with breast cancer because of a certain gene that was in her body. And so she went in her 30s and had it herself checked, and she found she had the same gene. So in order to keep from dying at a young age, she went and she had a double mastectomy. That's pretty radical, isn't it? When they didn't detect any cancer or any problem, but because her mother died with that, she went and she had double mastectomy, and she didn't want to die at a young age with breast cancer. Didn't want to take the chance. I thought that was pretty radical and from a very desperate person. People are desperate to live. We want to live. We all want to live. I want to tell you about a young man named Aaron Ralston. Some of you might have heard of him. In April of 26, 2003, he was climbing a canyon wall in Utah when an 800-pound boulder fell down and landed on his hand and crushed him and pinned him on the side of the wall. Everything he tried to get his hand out of that, it didn't work. And after 4 days, the water and the food ran out. He became a desperate man. He wanted to live. So he took out his little knife, pocket knife-like thing that he had, and he started cutting. He tied a tourniquet around his upper arm with his hand in his teeth, and he started cutting above where the boulder had him trapped. He cut through the skin, and he broke both of his bones, and then he sawed through the soft tissue of his wrist, and then through the arteries and the tendons and through the nerves. Now, I would imagine that after being pinned there for that long, it was probably somewhat numb. But isn't that pretty desperate for someone to cut off their hand or their arm in order to live? And live he did. He was able to survive that, and he's still alive today, to my understanding. He was a desperate man. People do strange things out of desperation. I know people that have part of their stomach removed and stapled up in order to try to lose weight. To me, that's desperate, to have that kind of a radical surgery. You probably know someone yourself that got desperate in their lives and they committed suicide. They took their own life. Lost all hope, didn't see any end. And so out of desperation, they just took their own life. How sad that is, that anyone would do such a thing as that. People get desperate for money. They get desperate for a lot of things. They go out and they rob and they steal and they murder. And they do all kinds of things out there in this world today. It's a desperate world. And I want to tell you something tonight. We're not the only ones that get desperate. The devil is very desperate. I'm learning from the way that he works on the saints. The way that he works on our elderly saints especially. And how that he comes against them and he doing everything he can to crush them down and to destroy them. And the devil's desperate for every soul that he can take with him to a devil's hell. The Lord Jesus said that he is a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, didn't he? And he's desperate today. I believe that not only we, or us, and not only God himself knows that time is short because we see the signs of the time, but I believe the devil knows it also. And I know that once that eternity comes, he'll never be able to deal with the soul of a man again. He's done. His business is done in dealing with the souls of men. So he's desperate. And I want you to know tonight that he is desperate to destroy each and every one of us here. He's desperate to do that. And he'll go to any lengths that he can to do it. I'd like to read some scripture this evening, and I trust that the Lord will help us to be able to paint a picture that I believe the Bible paints, to be able to express it and bring it out in the fear of God. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, we have a description here, or a vision that Isaiah had of the glory of God. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. With 2 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory, of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke." You know, I think about God and his creation. It says here, the door of the post moved at the voice of him that cried. Do you know everything that God created moves at his command? Moves at his will. Moves for his purpose and what he has designed it for, except you and I. Except mankind. Everything else is in his order and in his will, except man. God has given man the choice, the ability to make choice, the will to stand in the place that he wants to stand, go where he wants to go, do what he wants to do. God's given man the ability to do that, and therefore man has gotten out of the will of God and out of his order. But it said here, "Then said I, woe is me." And I want us all to consider tonight that we're here on time's side of eternity. We're here, and most of us probably in here tonight have a real fear upon our souls, a real respect for God, that we are very careful of how we live before him and how we walk before him. Folks, tonight, I want to tell you, I've been considering this, and I believe that the time is coming whenever you and I see God face to face, that it's still going to bring a fear and a trembling upon our souls. To think that we will be in the presence of a holy God, the Creator, the Sovereign, Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings, and you and I will be in his presence. Folks, everything that we have dreamed, everything that we've trumped up, everything that we loved and desired will all fall down before us. And we will be made subject unto Almighty God. Now this man here was a prophet. Isaiah was a prophet. And yet when God allowed him to see his glory, and he saw the results of the voice that was spoken and the trembling of the doorpost, the first thing that he said is, "Woe is me." Sometimes we get to thinking, what will other people think if I do this? Or what will other people think when I do that? Folks, when we get to the judgment, it'll be me standing before God. And I don't want to get there. By the grace and the help of God, folks, we don't want to get there and say, "Woe is me." And look back in my life and say, "Oh, I remember when God dealt with me. I remember when God showed me this or showed me that, and I didn't take care of it. And I walked over it. And I became insensitive to it. And I went on endeavoring to live for the Lord with that still a blot on my name." Do you know people do those things? People do those things. "Woe is me." Why did he say that? He said, "I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Folks, tonight I want us to take this real serious. I want us to take this to heart tonight. That right now you and I are able to go. The Lord told Peter, right now you go where you want to go, you do what you want to do, but one of these days someone is going to carry you somewhere that you don't want to go. That happens to everyone, doesn't it? Someday someone will carry you where you don't want to go. Desperation. Whenever he saw the glory of God, and realized that he was in the presence of God, folks, even though he was the prophet of God, he realized that it still wasn't good enough. "Woe," he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Lord, help us tonight to never think of ourselves too highly. To never think of ourselves that we are so great or we are so good. Folks, when we step into the presence of God, all of that is going to fall down. We're going to realize that after everything I've said and everything that I've done, he is going to have the last say. He's going to have the last say over it. I want to look at another scripture. This was found in Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 1st verse. "It came to pass," and I want to read a little bit if I could, "that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust him out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Simon knew Jesus well, didn't he? He had followed him in his ministry, and he knew him well. Jesus knew him even better. "And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." I've already heard in 2 days of this meeting how much we need God. Yes. Folks, we need to throw down our ideas, our thoughts of the way that we think things ought to be done, and we need to just humble ourselves before God. "Master, I've toiled all night. Lord, we've worked all night long, and now you're telling us to let down the net for a draught. Well, since you told us that, we're going to do it. Lord, help us tonight when the Lord tells us something that we'll do it." That we'll do it. That's for every one of us. That will do it. It is so easy sometimes to want to have our way that we'll back up on God. And it's a dangerous thing to back up on God. So he said here, "I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he saw Jesus, didn't he? He saw him in a different way. He saw him as God here. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Been walking with him in the ministry. He went out and done miracles that Jesus had sent him out to do. But folks, when he saw God, when he realized he was in the presence of Almighty God and saw this great thing that God had done, he said, "Depart from me." In other words, "I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I'm a sinful man." Folks, when we begin to look at ourselves that way, we may find, in the eyes and the light of God, we may find something a little different than what we thought. We might find something there that is not what we thought or didn't think that was there. But he said here, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. How it changes whenever we realize, they realize they were in the presence of God. Amen. I read a story about a mother who had a young man that was in his late teens, and he was starting to get involved in things that was going to take him down a downward path. So she went to her pastor and she asked him if he would talk to him. And he said he would. So she brought her son in, and pastor sat down with him and he asked him some questions. And he says, how's your life going? He said, oh, it's going fine. He said, are you frustrated? No. Are you unhappy? No. Do you want a change in your life? He said, no. Are you feeling desperate about how your life is going? He said, no. The pastor went out to his mother and he said, you might as well take your son home, because there isn't anything God can do for him until he becomes desperate. Wasn't the prodigal son desperate? He was a desperate young man, wasn't he? Spent everything that he had and came down to a desperation in his life. And who did he think of? He thought of the Father. Folks, I realize that this is a very troublesome world. I realize that we face a lot of hard things. Things come into our lives, into our young people's lives. Things come into every one of our lives, folks, that cause us to get a different slant on life. Yes. Causes us to look at things a different way. Yes. People, things are happening to people today that they, if they're not careful, they turn and they blame God because of what happened to them in their life. And people start harboring things in their heart. I realize life is not easy, especially without God. And I realize that tonight. And there's so many that I see that come down to this place of desperation until they don't know what to do, don't know where to turn. And folks, I want to tell you tonight, I want you to know tonight, you're in the right place. You're in a place that if you're ready to yield and give your heart and life over to God, this is the place right here that God will meet you at our altars. Amen. And deliver you and give you peace. Peace that passeth all understanding in your souls. This is the place. You know, there's a lot of places in the world. But if you're in trouble and if you're in need, to the point of realizing, I can't do this anymore alone. I can't do this for myself. I've struggled and I've tried and I've tried to work it out and I've tried every angle that I know. If you're in that place tonight, I want to tell you, you give Jesus an opportunity to come into your heart and life. He'll change things. He changed things in my life. He changed things that was taking me down that downward spiral. This young man, he was satisfied with his life. He was going a downward path, getting into drugs, getting into problems in his life, but he was satisfied. He didn't see any danger in it. Folks, when I went to pass that woman there in that car, I didn't see any danger in it. I had plenty of time if she hadn't sped up and played games with me out there. I didn't have any other place to go. You ever get that way sometimes? You feel like you don't have any other place to go? I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to do. As Brother Marty, I believe, read the scripture, I'm at my wit's end. I've gone as far as I can go. Folks, I want to tell you, there's something for that. God has a remedy for that. He has something special for each and every one of you. You know, we're living in an awful time. A time that we're in a depravity, if I can use that word. We're in a time when men and women are doing things that is like throwing a fist in God's face. I'm going to live the way that I want to live and do what I want to do. I read, and I didn't read, but I heard it on the radio one time, about a bakery in Colorado. A bakery that was highly, people liked that bakery. Their goods were, they liked their baked goods and all of that. And a couple came in there, man and a man. And they said, "We want you to bake us a wedding cake." And they said, "Our convictions won't allow that. We can't do that." So, of course, that didn't satisfy them. They went out and they began to spread it around. And it wasn't very long. And a judge came along and says, "If you want to stay in business, you'll make them a wedding cake." I don't know the outcome of it. But it was in Colorado, and it was just this year. Folks, that's the world we live in. I want to tell you tonight, if you're here, and you've been living in a fairy tale world, get out of it. Because that fairy tale world is a dead end. Live in the world of reality. When these fellas here, when Isaiah and Peter realized that it was Almighty God that was standing before them, they trembled and they feared in their hearts. The reality of it is that every one of us is going to face God. That's the reality. And yet people go on and, you know, they struggle with their lives. They're not really satisfied. And I'll do everything that I know to do except give my heart and life to the Lord. Because they don't want to give up their own selfish ways. They don't want to give it up. They want to do it the way they want to do it. Folks, that's not going to work. You and I, every one, are going to have to meet the conditions that God has given us. We're going to have to meet it. We're going to have to humble our hearts. Our young people today are feeling pressured to have relationships outside of marriage. Pressure. If you don't do it, you're a prude, or you're not one of us. You're not hip. You're not up to date if you don't do it. Young people don't do it. What God has given you is a gift. And He meant for that gift to be open at marriage. Don't do it. There's a great pressure today. I've got grandchildren. My oldest grandson, he'll be 21 here in a month or so. And they're pressured. Fit in. Well, they're doing it. Let's us go do it. Does that make it right? It doesn't make it right, does it? Folks, the world's doing a lot of things that's taking them right straight down to a devil's hell. That's where it's taking them. If you ever need it, some people get the idea that salvation, this what we're talking about, what we have here, is for old folks. Young people, if you ever needed the Lord, you need Him when you're young. You can save yourself a lot of sorrows, a lot of heartaches, a lot of troubles, a lot of traps that the devil has set for you. You need Him when you're young. You need Him to lead and guide and direct in your life. Those things, those questions that come in your mind, the decisions that you're trying to make, He'll help you with those decisions. He'll give you grace to be able to say no. He'll help direct your steps. You need Him when you're young. I've seen people come on these grounds for years. They love to be around the saints. And they'll sit and listen to messages like this time and time again, but they won't move and get help in their souls. You know what I call them? Gamblers. Gamblers. They're gambling with the most precious possession they have, and that is their souls. Gambling. Oh, there'll be another time. There'll be another opportunity. They're gambling. Folks, we don't have that promise that there'll be another time. This is Saturday night. We think, we'll have Sunday night and Monday night. Maybe not. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. And we sure don't know when he's coming back for us, do we? Desperate. I know that I had to come to a desperate place when the Lord saved me. But it was the best thing that I ever did. I'd like to look at another scripture found in Daniel, 5th chapter. You all know the story. I'll try to save some time here. We know the story of Belshazzar, the king that made a feast. And he sent to the house of God, to the temple, and he asked for the vessels to drink out of to be brought to him so they could party and drink wine. God wasn't real pleased with that, was he? That they were desecrating the instruments that were dedicated to the worship of God. And so it says here, let's pick it up in the 5th verse. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. Here we go again. Stop the party right there. The handwriting on the wall. Stop the party. Right there. He didn't know what it was about. He didn't understand what was going on. Something here has changed. There's something abnormal about that. I tell you, if there was a hand come up here and started writing on the wall, there wouldn't be any of you looking at me. It would get your attention, wouldn't it? And you would sit there wondering, what is going on? What is happening here? And that's where the king was. Here they was partying and having a good time and desecrating the things of the temple, the things that were dedicated to God, and having a good time. And all of a sudden, there was a hand, just a hand. That's all, not God himself come down or this big thing, just a hand, start writing. They said the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Do you know, when I got back in front of that woman, after I finally got over in front of her, I know exactly how this fellow was doing. I know how his knees were knocking and his legs were shaking. Because of fear. This is a description of fear. Folks, it will be better for you and I to have a fear of God here than to meet it over there. It'll be better for you and I to fall down prostrate before God and submit our will and our life to him than to get over there and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Folks, you talk about a fear. It'll be more than a handwriting on the wall. But when that time comes, there'll be no more opportunity like this. There won't be any more opportunities like this. This old boy, it says he cried aloud. I imagine he did. I imagine he did holler out pretty good. Folks, we deal with life, and many people struggle. People struggle with marriages. They struggle with their health. They struggle with financial problems. Maybe problems that they have at work. I know that I'm hitting somebody, because these are the kind of struggles that we have with life. Husbands and wives, something in the relationship that you just can't seem to get straightened out. Folks, these things bring us to places that we don't know where else to turn. And thank God tonight we have a place to turn to. We have a place to turn to. This man here, he knew better to do than to do what he was doing. He knew the story of his father. And he knew how God dealt with his father. And when that Daniel came along and began to tell him what the handwriting meant, he told him. He said, you know what your father did. You know how God dealt with him. You knew better than this. How many of us in here tonight are doing things we know better that we shouldn't be doing? You may be getting by with it now, but you won't one of these days. You won't get by with it one of these days. We're not going to get by with it always and forever, folks. But I want to impress upon your heart tonight and your mind what it's going to be like to be in the presence of God. It's going to change a lot of things, a lot of our ways and our thinkings, isn't it? When we kneel before Him, when we come before Him, our ways are going to change. Our thinking is going to change. Hey, one more scripture I'd like to read. It's found in Revelations, the 6th chapter. Twelfth verse, Revelation 6 and 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth. You know, there was a change that's going on here. It hasn't been but just a few weeks ago, and you folks out in this area, you've had some pretty hard weather, haven't you? I was sitting there in the little room of my house, and it got dark outside. It wasn't time to get dark, but it got dark. The winds, the bushes and the trees started whipping back and forth. Next thing I heard was the rain, and then the lightning, and then I heard the hail. In the room I'm sitting in, I look up, and it's got two skylights in it. I got out of the room. I got out of the room. I went to a different part of the house that at least had a solid roof on it. Folks, when things begin to change, and we know that it's threatening to us, we try to get out of the way of it, don't we? But yet some people are bullheaded and stubborn enough that they're going to take their own way and are going to stay right in the path that they want to follow right to the end of their life. You know who you're going to meet when you do that? God. You're going to meet God. So all these changes were going on. The stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. When she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men. The kings and the great men. And the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and the bondmen and the free men. They all hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Can any man hide from God? Jonah tried to run from him one time, didn't he? But even in the deep, he cried out, didn't he? And God heard him. Folks, these people realized they were in a desperate situation. And they became frightened, and they became fearful, and they cried to be covered or hid from the presence of God. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Folks, all of those things that you've built in your mind, those things that you put your hopes and your dreams on, those possessions that you have and all those things, you can call on them all you want to. But when the Lord comes back, they're not going to cover you. They're not going to protect you. They're not going to defend you. They're not going to be your hope and your peace. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I want to read something tonight, and I have to read it, most of it. But I want you to listen to me real good. We're living in a time, the Apostle Paul said, that people have itching ears. If you want to live a lifestyle that you choose to live, you can go anywhere you want and you'll find someone that calls himself a preacher will justify it. That's where we are today. People don't want to hear today the truth. They don't want to hear about the fall and the depravity of man. We don't want to think about dying. Yet many of us ministers that are in this building tabernacle tonight, we've preached funerals of young people that went out into eternity. Didn't plan on it, of course. Through accident or whatever, and went out into eternity to meet God. I want to tell you about another preacher. You can sit in this assembly for the next several days, and there'll probably be a lot of different preachers up here. And you may not listen to a word they say. But I want to tell you about a preacher that you're going to listen to. He's not popular, but the world is his parish. And he travels all over the world and speaks in every language under the sun. He visits the poor, the rich, the poorhouse, and the highest circles of society. He preaches to people of every religion and people with no religion. The substance of his sermon is always the same. He often stirs feelings that no other preacher could reach and brings tears to eyes that are not used to weeping. He speaks to the intellect, to the conscience, and to the heart of the hearers. His arguments cannot be refuted, nor is there any heart that remains unmoved by the force of his appeals. Most people hate him, but he makes everyone hear him. You may not hear tonight, but this preacher, you'll hear. He is neither refined nor polite. He often breaks in rudely on the private enjoyments of life. Neither the mansion nor the palace daunt him by their greatness, and no alley or activity is dark enough to escape his notice. His name is Death. He finds us wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever our station in life, he's going to find every one of us someday. that it's appointed unto man, isn't it? Once to die. And after death, the judgment. Every tombstone serves as his pulpit. You often see his congregations passing to and from the graveyard. Someday he will be preaching to others by your graveside. You may get rid of your Bible. You may ridicule its teachings and despise its warnings. You may scorn the warning tonight if you want to. You can even reject the Savior of whom the Word of God speaks. You can get away from the preachers of the gospel. You're not compelled to even go to church. It's in your power to ignore what we've said here tonight. But if you refuse God's pleas to your heart, what are you going to do with this preacher? We're all going to listen to this preacher one day. He has gone on in perfect indifference to the changing events and opinions of the whole world for over 6,000 years. I want us to consider what is before us tonight. Why are we here? Why are we here? We want to learn about Jesus. We're here, I know, for a lot of reasons, but folks, the main burden, thrust of the burden here is for souls. Because one day, this preacher is coming. He's coming to every one of us. And Lord, help us to be prepared to go out and meet God. Is there anyone here tonight that is desperate enough to say, you know, I realize what this man is saying, that it's true. And someday I'm going to meet this, and I'm struggling with my life. Everything I try to, nothing that I try to do works. Why don't you give him a chance? Why don't you give him a chance? Why don't you quit struggling? One of these days, your little day will be past. Our little day will be past. It'll be all over, folks. And our pleasures, every one of us, our pleasures is going to have an end. There'll be an end to it here. I read about a young man that was going to school and he went to his divinity professor, it said. And he said to him, he said, how long before death should a man prepare for? And his professor said, oh, about 5 minutes. He said, okay, thank you, and he took off. He said, hold it. He said, do you know how long you're going to live? Do you know if you've got 5 minutes? Wasn't there a preacher standing up here one night preaching on time and said somebody's time was running out? And someone passed away right out there in the congregation. How long do you have to prepare for this, folks? Don't gamble with your soul. If you want to take your money and go gamble with it, that's one thing. But your soul, eternal soul, once this preacher comes, folks, and he preaches the last message to you, you're going to be in eternity. You're going to be there with the rich man. And he realized when he got his eyes open in torment that he was going to be there. There's nothing he could do about it to change it. And yet we gamble and we take a chance. I'd like to see more people desperate, wouldn't you? Folks, when this preacher comes, you're not going to care what kind of funeral you have. It ain't going to matter. Because your whole eternity is going to hang upon the state in which you die. The condition in which you die. The whole eternity is going to depend on that. You look at the grave markers and you see when the person was born, the little dash, and when they die, and that dash represents their life. And that whole life, you've activity here, activity there. But folks, how you leave here, the whole eternity is going to count and depend on it. Where death leaves us, folks, judgment is going to find us. Judgment's going to find us. I'd like for us to consider our souls. I'd like for us to take an examination, saint and sinner alike. How desperate are we for God, folks? Let's don't try to run this race half-heartedly. Let's get down and get the fullness of God's grace. The fullness of His love. Let's get down there before God and do serious, real business with God. Because one of these days, our little life will be over. And then we're going to give an account, Paul said, of the deeds that we've done in this body. Whether they be good or whether they be evil. But one thing for sure, when I bow before Him, He will have the last word. He will have the last word. So my prayer tonight, my burden tonight, if there's anyone here that realizes how desperate their life really is, realizes they need someone to help them, to turn their life around, to get their bring their life under control, I want to encourage you tonight to come and talk to the Lord. Give your heart to Him. Many of you have heard my testimony, folks. He, no matter what it is you're dealing with, he can take care of it. Amen. He can take care of it. He can straighten it out. I know the devil will tell you, well, you don't know my situation, and I'm in this kind of a place and that kind, and I've done this and done that. Folks, He can take care of it. Jesus' blood, there's power in that. Power in the blood of Jesus. He can take care of it. That's what He died for. I want to entreat you and encourage you tonight to come and meet the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.